First reading for today is from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard and heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I declare I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying: if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. This is the word of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. It's a nursery rhyme when I was younger. I remember that as I was reading this text. In the text, it talks about going the illustrations of the life of a soldier, athlete, and then also a farmer, a hard-working farmer. And I just thought, it just pulls three things kind of randomly, it seems, out of the air that are the mundane tasks that people do around Paul as he's using them as illustrations. And in modern day, what would we use? Well, it probably wouldn't be a butcher, baker, candlestick maker, although those three still exist. But that was used in children's literature. Actually, that rub-a-dub-dub, three men in a tub, started off as three women in a tub. And it was considered risque just to say that much. And oh, wow, if we could only be recognizing such risque things today, and not go as far as we have in the world. But that in the 18th century, that was kind of was just stirring all kinds of thoughts. Well, really it was pulling also from just the generic task that people did. It's also used in other areas in literature. In particular, the butcher, baker, candlestick maker phrase was used in some letters regarding children that were going off to war, and how some of those from the common folk like that would rise up and now be officers over other people of higher born status. And oh my, how could something like that ever take place? In our text today, as we have the illustration of three just normal folks around that Paul pulls out, we're given an example of how we are to live our lives. And that's what all the parables did, and that's what this is, in a sense, just kind of some teachings in a parable form, although they're just really one-liners from the lives of those that are around. But 2 Timothy chapter 2 is dealing with these examples that Paul wants Timothy to consider. The soldier, the athletes, the farmers, and in understanding in their lives, how do you take some things of their lives and apply them to your own? The context here is in suffering and hardship endured for the sake of Christ. And it starts off with this idea of a soldier, to suffer as a soldier. We're called to suffer as a soldier. Not in the idea of like fear for our death, life and death situations. That's not the idea that's being brought out here. But just as far as what does a soldier do in their normal routine? Who do they answer to? How do things go? In Ephesus, there was certainly a Roman militia presence. And so the idea for Paul and for Timothy in the writing of this and the receiving of this, it was very clear the soldiers all around. Even as we hear that Paul himself was writing this while in prison, he had the visual right there for him, and Timothy would when he received it as well. The task is really simple here for a soldier. Don't fall into this trap. A soldier must avoid mission drift. They're called to stay on task, to do the things that they're commanded to do, to stay focused in the responsibilities handed to them by their commanding officer. For us as Christians, we have to avoid mission drift also. We're handed a marching order, if you will, from our commanding officer, from God. God is telling us the things we should do, the things we shouldn't do. And we need to stay on focus with what He calls us to do. That means that we're not looking after our own lives and self-interest. That means also we're not looking after the self-interests of others around us, even, unless that falls in line with God's plan, with our commanding officer's plan. We avoid mission drift. We've been called to a mission to take this word of God out into the world. Go into all nations. Do we take this word out into all the world? As a soldier would do as they're told, both in the days of Paul, as in the days today, they obey the commands. We've been given a command, a very clear command, go with this gospel out into the world. As fellow soldiers, how are we doing at that? Are we getting it done? Are we going out? We've been trained. We've been made disciples. We know the word. We know the faith. We know the forgiveness. We know the love of Christ. We know the story of the death and the resurrection. Take it. Take it out there. Just like any soldier would go out into a battle, they're going to go out prepared. They've been taught. They've been instructed. They've been directed. We're called to go into the world. And then he goes into the second illustration. He breaks into the athlete. And with the athlete must compete fairly, he notes. Athletes, whether amateurs or pros, they existed long before the New Testament times. They existed back in the Old Testament days. We can go all the way back to the Grecian Olympics, which were going on at one point in history. And certainly as the idea of an athlete was present, there were the prizes that the athlete received. The winners were presented with an olive wreath from the sacred tree near the Temple of Zeus in Olympus. That Olympia, they got this laurel wreath. And if an athlete broke the rules, if an athlete cheated, then not only could they have their laurels, if you will, and their medals removed from them for this competition, but they could have them stripped from all their previous competitions as well. So if you cheat today, it's as if you've always cheated and everything is taken away. And if you compete, you have to do training before that. You have to build up and be ready for that competition. So you have 10 months prior that you were given to prepare yourself for that competition. And if that meant training in a certain way, physical things in a certain way, also things you could eat, things you couldn't eat or drink, if you broke any of the rules along the way, you were disqualified. You have to run the race with perseverance, we're told in Scripture, to run as though we're going to win the race, although we know that we don't win the race. Christ has already won it for us. But we continue to run. We continue to compete. And we're continuing in this life to go forward with all of our heart in the fairness of what God has given us. We're in training now. And it's not for something in 10 months, it's for something and we don't know when, but we have to be in training all of the time, recognizing that the Lord could come at any time. We don't break training, we follow the rules, we obey what the faith has called us to do. We proceed fairly. Then the third illustration comes out, and that's the farmer. And like the farmer, we have to keep plowing and rely on God. There's a modifier that's given for the farmer, though. A hard-working farmer. Now, that's something that's simple to consider, because if any one of you have ever either farmed yourself or known a farmer, you know the kind of work that involves. And it's something that they're doing from sun up to sundown, and sometimes a little bit after that sundown as well. They're working hard, they're plowing the fields, they're taking care of the animals, they're out there and they're involved. The idea of a farmer's work is never done is something that we can clearly understand, because they're devoted to it. And if they are such a farmer that is so devoted to it, then they also deserve the beginnings of those crops to take care of themselves, to feed themselves and their families, because they have done that work. But no matter how much work they do, no matter how hard they work, the outcome of that crop is still going to be completely dependent on God. Because they can plow and they can plant, but if the sun's going to shine or the rain's going to come, that's the work of God. And there's even a passage from James chapter 5 that says, "See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it reaches or until it receives the early and the late rains." A hardworking farmer works hard and does deserve some of the fruit of his labor, but the first fruits are going to go to the one who truly does the work, and that's going to be God. But they're going to work hard anyways. Because if they don't work hard, it's still not going to happen, even if God does bring the rains and the sun, if we don't do what we're called to do. So we get three different aspects just from everyday life that are so simple to understand as a Christian, for Timothy to understand as a young pastor, but for us to follow as well. We're called into some marching orders. We know what we're called to do. We know what we can't do. We have this laid out for us. And in that sense, we can even look at this as a race, as an athlete would. We've got to get to the finish line. We know that there is an end to this as well. And so we go with perseverance, and we keep our eyes on the prize, and we continue to compete fairly, according to the rules, all of the way. And then finally, we recognize that this isn't something that's going to be easy. It's going to involve a lot of work in this life. We're called to work at it, to work out our salvation, if you will. We know that we receive it fully and freely from Christ because of His death and resurrection, but we are called to work in this world. We're not couch Christians. We don't sit back and just wait for Christ to come to us. Christ uses us to go into the world, to do His tasks, and to work hard at the tasks that are before us. You likely have people just from your life that you can look at and see how this person is one that you see them as an example, as one that you would like to have been like. Likely when growing up you saw this person of faith here or there and you thought, what a great faith they have. Wouldn't it be something to have a faith like that, or to follow the Lord the way they follow? Well, the simple thought is then start doing it. Work toward that goal now. It's never too late. Where there's life, there's hope. We can seek to be that which we have admired from the past. And perhaps there might be someone then behind us in the generation coming up that sees us and thinks of us as that beacon of faith or that example of righteousness that they would like to be like. You can just take yourselves and your daily work, whatever your vocation has been or is, and see that God is calling you. Doesn't matter whether you're a butcher, a baker, candlestick maker, a soldier, an athlete, or a hardworking farmer. The Lord calls you where you are and uses you to accomplish His good work. Keep our eyes on the task before us. Listen to those who have gone before us and are over us. Work hard and go at it with perseverance, knowing that there is an end in sight. But when will we get there? When the Lord calls us home. Will we stay faithful in that to the end? Will you work hard? Will you run with perseverance? Will you follow God's word? What He says is right and what He says is wrong, what He says is good, what He says is bad, and the directions He gives us. The Lord calls us, and He calls us down a certain path. Will you follow? Will you take your life where you are and give it to Christ? In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Amen.